I know a number of you. I'm so delighted to see all of you here. We're going to make you work this morning, so lock the doors. Jack and I don't want to be here talking at you all morning, so part of a workshop, we have an hour and a half, and part of it is to engage you in use of the tool that we have, and we'll run through some examples, etc. Our session title is Developing and Implementing a Successful Workforce Development Plan. Did anybody think this session was going to be something different? Thank you, Emily. I appreciate that. You know, I'm sort of looking at, I feel a little bit off balance because there's so many more of you on that side than on this side. I don't know what that is, but you want to see the slides? Oh, okay. All right. And nobody's in the front seat. We don't bite. Well, I don't bite, but
I do.
Yeah, Jack does. Okay. Our disclosure, we have no financial relationships with any commercial interests relevant to this presentation. Okay? Anybody want to challenge that? Jack told me that his cousin was going to be in the room and he had a financial interest. So Jack Moran and I are with the Public Health Foundation. I'm president of the Public Health Foundation, Ron Bialik. Jack Moran is our senior quality advisor. A quick word from our sponsor, the Public Health Foundation. We've been around for 40-plus years, and our mission is that we improve the public's health by strengthening the quality and performance of public health practice. So we deal with performance management, quality improvement, and we deal with workforce development. You put those together, and you can actually strengthen public health practice and the health outcomes of communities that we try to serve and that we do serve. So what are we going to be talking about this morning? We're going to be talking about the importance of a successful workforce development plan. So why do this? We're going to talk about the relevant Public Health Accreditation Board standards. Just out of curiosity, how many of you in the room are somewhat involved with public health accreditation? Either you're consulting or you're within an agency or you're thinking about it. Okay, about half of you. And this presentation is not focused on accreditation. Accreditation is serving as a nice linchpin, if you will, a nice motivator for organizations to pay attention to workforce development plans. But truly, to have a successful plan, you want to address Public Health Accreditation Board standards and other considerations. But we'll talk about that. So we'll talk about meeting and exceeding the FAB standards, which was just the point I was trying to get across, which is great to have standards, even better to go beyond. And then we'll introduce and discuss the Workforce Development Plan worksheet that hopefully all of you have now before you. And we use a T-matrix, so we're using a quality improvement method and tool with this. So we're taking domain 8, for those familiar with accreditation, workforce development domain, and we're using a tool in quality improvement, which is domain 9, applying it to domain 8. And in reality, we all should be thinking about how do you apply quality improvement throughout all of the Public Health Accreditation Board standards domains. We'll do an exercise. Not jumping jacks. Well, maybe. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And then we'll talk about next steps and resources. On the handout that you have, the worksheet, you'll notice on the back side of that worksheet, we have a variety of resources. These are available on our, I think all of them or most of them are available on our website. Most of them are free. Excuse me. So please visit. And again, if you receive the electronic version of the form, those are live links, so you'll just be able to click and go. So why have a workforce development plan? I'm assuming that none of you would be in the room if you couldn't answer that question. Well, Alan, I'm not sure. Good morning, Alan. Why have it? Well, first off, we need to have adequate numbers within our workforce, and we know with the recession, things have not been as good as they need to be in terms of having adequate numbers. But sometimes that means, with the numbers we have, changing the types of jobs and the responsibilities and the activities of an organization. So you have to have adequate numbers to do the job that needs to be done. You need to have people who are, well, you need to have training. But training is not the only way to improve performance and to build skills and competence. You can have systems in place as well. So you need to have numbers, you need to have training and systems in place, you need to have skills and competence. And again, if our workforce roles and responsibilities are changing, we need to build different and potentially new skills and competence within the workforce. And then retention. I mean, we know we've been losing lots of folks in public health for a variety of reasons. We need to be thinking about how do we retain our workforce. So in any organization, not just the health department, any organization, we want to have numbers, training, systems, skills, competence, retention. That's why we need to have a workforce development plan, is to help an organization assure this. From a public health agency standpoint, we also need it as part of a requirement for the Public Health Accreditation Board. Under Domain 8, a health department is required to have a workforce development plan. So Jack and I saw this as an ideal opportunity to develop a worksheet, to develop a tool for a workforce development plan that speaks to accreditation, but also speaks to so much more in other types of organizations. We also need to have a workforce development plan to serve the public well. Again, if we don't have the people, the skills, the competence, the know-how, we're not going to improve the health of our communities. So what makes for a successful workforce development plan? A variety of elements. This is not science. This is experience, things that we've observed in the field. And so you want to be able to assess the current state. What does our current workforce look like? What is the numbers, the skills, the competence, the performance? You want to identify gaps and needs. So now we know what the current state is, where are the gaps, and what do we need to do? You may have so many needs, and we all do, but what are the priorities? So you need to then go through a prioritization process. Once you do that, you have to think about, okay, given our priorities, What is our desired future state? What would we like the future to look like within our organization? Then we have to select the strategies to help us get there. Once we select the strategies, we have to think about, are there challenges and resistance to the strategies? Maybe we have to rethink some of the strategies even after we've selected them, once we start thinking about challenges and resistance. Then you fine-tune your strategies, and then you also have to consider feasibility from all sorts of angles, from the political angle, the fiscal angle, etc., the know-how angle. And then once you've examined all of that, now you have your strategies, they're feasible to do, you have to develop a sound implementation process. And you also have to know what it's going to cost. Time, effort, another cost could be political capital. So you have to know what your costs are. And then we're always interested in quality improvement. You have to assure the quality and the process improvement throughout the implementation. So often what happens is you begin to implement and things are going a little bit differently than you might have thought, sometimes better, sometimes worse. Sometimes you're getting to where you want to go to quicker, sometimes slower. So you want to use a quality improvement process to be monitoring along the way and tweaking along the way. And so we want to be integrating quality improvement and the whole concepts of quality improvement into our workforce development plan. So last year at APHA, we did a workshop, and we dealt with the first three of what we consider to be important elements to a successful workforce development plan. And for those of you who are interested, and again, these slides, we understand, will be on the APHA website at some point, and these links will be live. And so you can go to the white paper that we did after this workshop. We did this workshop last year at NACHO, NALBO, and APHA, and we put together a white paper from some of the learnings from that. And here's just one figure from this. And last year, when we convened folks across these three different meetings, it turned out that at this point in time, it's not always, but at this point in time, folks felt the highest priority in building skills and competence were in financial planning and management and leadership and systems. You'll notice that basic sciences were really low. And the thinking in some of the groups and their discussions was, you know, if we don't have the finances and if we don't have the leadership, we could have all the science in the world, but we won't be able to practice because the people won't be employed. We won't have an agency. And so people felt, and this is what's important about the prioritization process, is that you identify the gaps and then you think about what's really important to our organization now and into the future. And that's what went on last year. So back to this year. So we mentioned that there are a variety of elements of success. We mentioned that an important element of a public health workforce development plan for health departments is consideration of the Public Health Accreditation Board standards. But even if you are not an agency, even if you are not going for accreditation, you're a not-for-profit organization, you're a hospital, whatever you may be, the FAB standards give some very important guidance. So for instance, relationships with academia. It's good to have relationships with academia. It's good to get the academics out of their place. And it's also good to get some of the academic understanding into the organization from the research standpoint, from the training standpoint, from the practice standpoint. And that's in the FAB standards. The FAB standards require you to assess and develop workforce competencies. Again, any organization, it's important to have an assessment of competencies. Then once you have identified the gaps, you assess, then you would address and identify the gaps. A fourth element is leadership and management development skills. Again, think about any organization and think about the importance of leadership and management. State health departments, anybody here with state health department? I know there's at least one person. State health departments also, if they're going for accreditation, they have to have in their plan how they're going to help local health departments and tribal health departments with their workforce development activities. So that's a requirement that the state provide some assistance. Use IT to support mission and workforce. IT, there's a whole separate part of the FAB standards in Domain 11. And the suggestion there is it's not a requirement, but since there are IT requirements, well, how can you use IT to your advantage when it comes to workforce development? Job descriptions, also in Domain 11. How do you integrate competencies into job descriptions? And then there are recruitment and retention issues as well. There are a variety of other FAB standards, but this page right here, this is what we built into our worksheet. But again, with the worksheet, you can add other elements. There may be other FAB standards that are important to you. There may be other considerations that are not FAB, like health reform, that may be important to you. You may be taking on new responsibilities. You may be losing some responsibilities. Again, you may build that into what you do in your workforce development plan. So what we ultimately want to be able to do is to construct a workforce development plan that addresses your current needs, addresses your future needs, and helps you build the strongest possible organization to do what your organization is set out to do. Now you know why we gave you this handout, because there's no way you can read this. This is our Workforce Development Plan worksheet, and again, if you wish to receive an electronic version of it, just sign up on the sign-up sheet. What we try to do here is walk you through the standards and have you go through some thinking and implementation process of what you're going to do and why you're going to do it, look at resistance, and move forward. We use what's called a T-matrix form for this particular worksheet. Let me turn it over to Jack. Jack is going to paper the wall.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm from the East Coast, so it feels like it's almost time for lunch right now. Anyway, we want to talk a little bit about matrix diagrams. And one of the things with matrix diagrams, it's one of the greatest days of my life when I found matrix diagrams. And I know what you're thinking, this guy needs a life. Yeah, it's probably true. Anyway, but really what happened was, it was the way I was thinking, but I didn't really have a tool to put it into place. And really what it does is help you show relationships between items. And my background is I was an engineer with a statistical background, so I was always looking for relationships. And it was always like more than two items, so how do you really start comparing things? And again, the other way is to display the items, but also to capture the discussion that went on. A lot of times you'd have the point and you'd say, yeah, they're related, but how do I know? What happened? So the matrix diagrams allow you to put in information as well as seeing the relationship. And again, you can prioritize issues and tasks using them. They're very good at that. and helps us find the connecting points between multiple items as we're doing it. Again, we can build them so that we can talk about the strengths of the relationships. We can talk about roles played by individuals, and that'll be one of the things we'll look at today. And we can add in measurements as we go along in the process. Now, there's three types of matrices that we'll talk about today. The simplest one, I'll just draw this before we do anything else, is what is known as an L-shaped matrix. And, you know, pretty straightforward. You have A and B. You know, so we're looking at these two items. And A may have a number of, you know, subsets in it, and B may have a number of subsets. So we can look at all of those. Sometimes we have more than one variable. So two variables in this case. So let's say we have A. And what we want to do is look at it in terms of B and C. This is our T-chain matrix that we have in this case. And the T-trace in this case is we can compare A to B, A to C, but we, you know, A is there just by itself, but we can compare B and C. Another one we'll talk a little bit about, this is T, is the X matrix, but we won't use that today. This is where you can add in another variable, let's say D. And now you can compare D to B, D to C, and compare A and B. So if you wanted to do that, you could just go take an L-shaped matrix up here and put D in, and then you could start to do it. So this is the way, these are the two basic ones we'll talk about today. So when you add in D on this side, this becomes what we call an X-shaped matrix. But suppose you're the type of person that wants to compare A, B, and C together. There is one other one we could use called the Y matrix. Now I can compare A to C, A to B, B to C. But suppose you still don't want to do that, you want to do all of them at once, there is a thing called the C-shaped matrix. If you're really good at three-dimensional, the point is somewhere over here in the three-dimensional, A, B, and C all come together. So that's the one we're going to use today. We're going to turn this room into a cube. Very complicated. You really have to do this with some software. But think about, you know, you have a couple of things you want to compare. You can use an L-shaped matrix. Three things you can use a T-shaped. Four things you can use an X-shaped. And this is the one we're going to use today, is a T-shaped matrix. And I'll run through a few of the examples in the slides. And what you'll see in this case is many types of matrices you can use. The nice thing about them is, you know, like the L-shaped, as I mentioned, you can add two factors, A and B. The C-shaped, we can A to B, B to C, but not, you know, A and C together in this case. So what we built was for our matrix we're doing is the fab measures are going across this way, and if you look at your matrix, we put them in the middle. And then what we look at is, you know, we could look at, you know, implementation processes in this case, those would be the B's, and then we could look at the challenges and resistance that we're going to run into, those could be the C items. So as we begin to look at this, you know, we can look at the FAB measures to the B's, FAB measures to the C's, but we kind of look at B and C together in this process. And as we started building this, one of the things that we developed as we're doing it is there are challenges and resistances we run into. And we want to look at those as we go through the process. So you'll see the matrix as we lay it out has some places where you do a piece of it and you stop. And then you go do a piece of the other side and you stop. And then you come back in and make a decision, do I continue on in this process? So think about an example for an L-shaped matrix. Think about if you were running a lab. And, you know, these would be some of the tasks that have to be done. Lab management, equipment training, and maintenance and repair. And for simplicity, we have three outstanding employees, Joy, Alex, and Beth. And somehow you've gone through and rated them. You know, so we have, you know, low skills for Joy and management. Alex got medium skills. Beth's got high skills. And now we can look at if something comes up that we want to do in this case, such as maintenance and repair, our two best choices in this case would be Beth and probably in this case, lab manager will do that, the maintenance rate, they actually is high in those things. Alex is good at equipment training, so we've got the matrix covered. And Joy is one of those people that are in transition, building her skills in all the areas. So again, it's just a way to use this to compare it. Now, suppose we wanted to add another dimension to it. We had equipment, we had tasks, now we want to look at the things together. So now with equipment, we have three devices, one, two, and three. And you can see in this case, we can look at Joy now and Alex and Beth. We looked at them at the tasks we had in the lab. Now we want to look at how they would do on the equipment. And you can see in this case, you know, as we look across device one, you know, Alex has it, device two, Beth has it, and device three, Joy has it. So we have one person with high expertise in all of the equipment. And hopefully what's happened in this case, we back them up with somebody with medium experience. So it's just a way to sort of look at people, tasks, equipment, how do they all relate to each other. So that's the process we were talking about. Am I going the wrong way here? No.
Can I ask a quick question on my document?
Sure.
So is there a way to, it seems like with this, I'm still kind of comparing each cell across the
yeah.
cell. Is there a way to tally?
Yeah, you could put in, tasks? We could put in, you know, for, let's say we wanted to have a score at the end, we could say high expertise, we could give it a 10. Medium expertise could get a 5. Low expertise would get a 1. So we could give them a score to say, you know, if we tallied across for device 1, 2, and 3, we could either tally it down for Joy, Alex, and Beth, or you could sum it the other way.
Okay. Because without the tally, it's just I'm comparing cell by cell.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not looking, mm-hmm. I'm not creating like a summary.
Right. Because the way we started this off, we just give people an idea, it's like Joy and device 1, you really want to make a decision, especially your competency on that device. But you could say the overall competency in this case, she would have a 20. 10 was high, and medium was 5. And you could look at Alex in this case, you know, he would have 16 in that case.
So am I, is my goal when I'm doing this to, I love it, by the way, taking back the technical college math, which is really fun. But so is my goal, since I'm comparing three different things, is it that each thing has a tally, and then I compare those tallies to one another?
You can do that. You could sum it up for the, like, the whole thing in this case for B. You could do all of B. You could do all of A, all of C. Or you can break it down in the individual components. It depends on the problems you're looking at. The other thing you find is, like, within this box here, you could write in, you know, nice thing about when you do this in Excel is you have the wraparound text. You could write in why I think or why you think Joy has medium experience. You could actually type that in there. So when you go back and you have a score of 5 for her, you could click on the box. If somebody else could, they could click on the box and they would see a rationale of building that. So the nice thing about what I found about these matrices, especially when you do them in Excel, is you can capture all the information. You don't have to now think, oh, I got to go to Joy's personnel record, figure out why I rated her 5. It really holds all the information in this box. The more you click on it, the deeper you can go into the process. The top thing usually is the rating in this case. But you can put a lot of information into one of these big kits. Yes.
Why don't you use the ability to match the best people for the best job?
You could do that too. Yeah.
I guess if you tell me, you could say, you know, this is where the strong generically, where not strong generically.
Right.
But if I'm in a resource challenge environment, I still want to be able to find the best person for the task, right?
Right.
Even if Joy has a
right. Because that's why you're going to be looking at it cell by cell, because the overall score might give you something that's misleading. What I always do is get an overall score and then go back in and look. What are the questions you want to ask in this case? You know, if Joy has the lowest score, you know, does she need more training? Might be the question. But you go back in, Joy probably needs additional training in device 1 and device 2. You know. So you use the matrix for a lot of things. It's just the question you really start asking is what starts to peel back the onion. And that's why I like doing it when I do it, is put as much information in this box as you can, especially if you had a group, say you had all the lab managers together, and they were rating all the people. You'd have everybody's comments in here, and then you could click on the box and take a look at it. Because a lot of times what happens in when we do scoring is we don't have the rationale when we finish it. You know, we come back 6 months later and you say, you know, why did we give Joy a 5 there? She's obviously got it. Now we look, time has gone by. Any other question? So we talked about the uses of the matrix diagram is really compared two or more groups of ideas, tasks, issues, and really we want to look at the relationship, what's going on there, and help us to prioritize. And if there are any connecting points between the items in this case. So this is our sheet that we want you to work on today, take a look at. And you can see this is done in Excel, so you can put in a lot of information, wrap the text, and then have it there. And there's two sides to this matrix. There's the implementation process, and then there's the challenges that we face in workforce development. And as Brian mentioned, down in the middle, this is the FAB measures for that domain. So we're looking at all the things. You can put anything in that column you want as you're making the comparisons in this case. So when we start the process, what we usually look at is step one. And in step one, what we want to do in this case is to really think about what's the purpose? Why are we doing this? If we want to, build something like a study to help the workforce competencies and gaps, what's the purpose for us doing that? Then what we want to think about is what to do. Once we know the purpose, what do we have to do to assess that gaps? And then what we want to do is think about, once we know what to do, how are we going to do it? And that's really what we like people to do in step one. As you start doing this, think about the purpose. We just don't want to say, oh, because it's a FAB domain, we have to do it. Well, what's really our purpose for doing this step? Then, once we know the purpose, we really want to break it down into the next level of tasks. What to do? What are those steps? And then, how do we do it? What are the resources we need to do this? So when we get that piece done, what we like to tell people to do is, here it is in a little more detail, blown up. But again, all the steps, purpose, what to do, how to do it. Then the next step is step two. Stop there. And go on the other side before you start to do anything and think about what are the challenges? What are the things I'm going to run into, that can go bump in the night and cause me a lot of problems? Talk about, the potholes, the landmines, the fears that we have that keep us up at night. We might have unions. So as we're talking about competencies, that might be a challenge or a resistance. The budget might be one. Change is always a resistance for everybody. Nobody likes to change. And the other thing is, change is a hard thing. I just went through a very traumatic change. We got a new car, so we decided to shift garages. And I have driven home many nights to my old garage and pushed that button and yelled at the door because it wasn't going up, while the other one over here was going up and down. My wife's been doing the same thing, so we pull up to our old doors and we sit there with the doors on the other side going up and down. It took a lot to change, to get that done. And now we finally got it going the right way, But it took about a week. You go back to your old habits, and change is a hard thing to do. The other thing to think about is change is, do we have the capacity to do this? Do we have the skills? That's another key thing. What external resources might we need? Do we have to have buy-in to make this happen in the process of going? Could there be some legal problems? And then others. So I'm sure you'll think of other challenges you can run into. Yes?
On the change code, are you suggesting we look at what's in the way of change, or are you suggesting we look at what the changes are? I'm not quite sure what you're trying to use.
It could be either. It could be what's holding up the change, would the workforce take on new competencies? Are they willing and able? We've been the type of development that people, I've been here 22 years, I'm doing the same job I've been doing all along, so any type of change like that might be a problem. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, from a systems point of view, maybe do you then expand your model and have two columns for change?
You could. Go ahead. You just did one.
I mean, again, these across the top are changeable by the user. I mean, they're there based upon what we sort of brainstorm, and we actually had Kay Bender from FAB brainstorm with us a little bit. But I was in the Maryland Health Department last week, And they suggested, you know, HR policy is one that should be up there too, because their HR is not in the health department. It's a separate department, and that could be one of the challenges and resistance. So all we're suggesting here is what's the label on the column really needs to be relevant to you. So that's why there's the other, because there may be other things you want to add, or, you know, Pat, as you just said, change may have two different elements, and you'd want to be able to tease that out. I would just suggest, though, not getting to the nth level of having, you know, 100 different things up there, because then you'll spend all your time doing that versus the work.
But the idea of this pause at this point to go look at the challenges and resistance before doing anything is you may find, you know, some of these challenges, we have a scoring system. You know, one is minimal, five is moderate, 10 is major. You may find some very major challenges or resistance that before you go do anything on the other side, you've really got to overcome them. And the idea in this case was to sort of stop and take a look before going any further. If you have some things that are minimal, you might just want to keep them on your radar and say, gee, we got them there. They may become something, but we'll watch as we go along. And moderate ones, you might just have some contingency plans in place to deal with them. But the idea of this side over here was, before you do anything on the other side and start really rolling it out, think about what you might run into. And some of them you can start to minimize as you're going along. You may think about, you know, challenges with the union. It might be down the road, maybe 3-6 months as you start rolling out the competencies. So you can still do something on the other side, but you can be working with them to minimize the impact as you get further down the road.
What kind of changes do you anticipate from the union? What kind of problems do you worry about
from the union? Well, I mean, there could be anything. They could decide that they don't want to make any workforce rule changes. We're not going to allow that to happen, you know, without some major concessions on the other side. You know, if we change people's, you know, skills this way and you want them to acquire it, perhaps it's a higher level job that they should be having. And in that case, then it would impact our budget. Because now we've, you know, we've raised everybody's skill levels up, they're getting more pay, we may not be able to afford it. I mean, some of those things you have to think of. I don't know other things with unions that you would run into in public health, but do you have any that you, do you have a union that you work with?
I went away a long time ago.
Okay.
With a previous employer, actually. But I would think that if you roll this into your performance evaluations and the expectations are linked, that would make it less complicated.
Yep.
And then the bargaining
program.
Yeah. The other thing is,
evaluate them on their performance being out, that's being the way you expect them to do the entry test. They can't evaluate it them if they haven't agreed with something you should be able to do.
So you might have to bargain that into the process as you go down the road. So there could be many challenges. Our idea was think about them before you jump into doing it full time. And then, as you back off on it, think about ways to moderate them as you're going forward. So after we've done that step, we've done step one, we've come over here to step two, now we go back and as the sign says there, pause. And think about what are the challenges you've seen, the resistance and so forth. Can we overcome them? Can we work through them before we start going forward on the next step, which would be really rolling out the pieces on, you know, what are the tasks, what are the timelines, who's responsible, what's the documentation required? And remember, when you're doing FAB, you know, for accreditation, you have to have documentation. And then, you know, and the last one here, it says other FAB standards that might be impacted, because although it's in Domain 8 that we're looking at a lot here, Domain 9, there may be other pieces that you may find. So that's the part of the process. Now we would have looked at the purpose, what to do, how to do it, understood our challenges and resistance, spent some time to check and see if they are overcomable, know the areas we can work on where the resistance is the lowest, start working on those, minimize the resistance in the other areas so you can continue on, and then do step four. We really start to roll out the process. So this is the way we sort of developed the matrix into four steps. Anybody have any questions on that before Ron takes you on to the exercise we're going to do?
Okay. Thank you, Jack. And before we get into the exercise, just a couple of quick examples. So last year, as I mentioned earlier at APHA and the NACHO and the NALVO meetings, we looked at this issue of assessing health department workforce competencies. And so if one were going to go through that, you know, what's the purpose? I mean, think about that. The purpose is we want to understand if we have, some people will say, the right people on the right bus going in the right direction, right? We want to be sure that we have the people with the skills and competencies to do the work that we have. You know, what to do in terms of assessing the competencies. There are a variety of tools. There are, I know there are a couple of you. How many of you are with public health training centers? Okay, several of you with public health training centers. One of the requirements for a public health training center is to assess the competencies of the workforce, and many of the PHDCs have developed assessment tools. So, you know, purpose is to better understand the workforce. What to do? Well, we want to actually assess. Maybe we want to survey the workforce. Maybe we want to bring leadership together. There are a variety of approaches you could use. How to do it? You know, what's the resource? Well, maybe I'll borrow an assessment tool that Pat, you have, that maybe you guys over at Hopkins can use for your area. That might be the approach. And then you'd look at the issues of challenges and resistance. Well, maybe there are no unions in the area, so that would get a zero. Doesn't relate. Budget. Well, there's the issue of But budget may be your budget. It also may be the agency budget. I mean, and so a variety of things. So you could see how that would work. But it may turn out that you're the, I'll use Maryland again, you're the Maryland Health Department, and you have a public health training center in your backyard, and they're ready, willing, able to do this assessment. And so you may see that your resistance in terms of the health department and challenges may be lower, but things like change may be high because maybe morale isn't so great. And do we really want these folks from Hopkins coming in here and assessing us? So you have to go back and forth and think about that. And so at the end of the day, you may say one of the biggest areas of the challenge with having an outsider coming in doing this assessment may be fear of change, fear of what that's going to do. And you may, with several other of these FAB standards, see that change is a big issue. And you may end up tallying here, the number may be pretty high. And so then you may have to sit back and think about, okay, what might we need to do within the organization to address the challenges of change? And we know there's change management, there's a variety of different things that could be addressed. So that's just one example of how that might work. A second one, that I'd like to tease out a little bit more, is establishing relationships with academia. So, again, you're an agency, you're a non-academic organization. Well, what would be the purpose? Why would we want to have a relationship with an academic organization? They could be a partner in helping us to train staff in priority areas. Because, gosh, we don't have the budget to do this on our own. We don't have the personnel to do it on our own. We want to apply more evidence in what it is we do, and we don't have researchers. Teaming up with an academic institution might be able to expand your research capabilities within your organization. We also would like to have a pipeline. And gosh, you know, if we had some interns, maybe we would interest them in what our health department does. Maybe we would see that they're good, and maybe after they graduate, we could actually recruit them to work with us in our organization. And so you could see that there are a variety of purposes that you might identify. So, yes, one purpose that I didn't put down here is it's a FAB standard. That's really not what you should be putting in the purpose, that it's a requirement. The purpose should be something greater than it's a requirement. All right. So now what to do? Well, you know, we've heard about this thing called academic health departments. We'd like to explore maybe within our organization developing an academic health department, or an academic health organization, so it doesn't have to be a health department, where we're teaming up, where we're sharing personnel, where we actually have people in our organization teaching in the academic institution, people in the academic institution actually working in our agency side by side, some salaries even being paid jointly, some grant funding being secured jointly. Okay, that's a crazy idea, but, you know, we'd like to do that. So how do we do it? Well, there's this thing called the Academic Health Department Learning Community. This is an advertisement here. That the Council on Linkages Between Academia and Public Health Practice the folks who develop the core competencies. We have this thing called the Academic Health Department Learning Community, which actually is meeting tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning for an hour and a half. But so you might say the way you're going to go about doing this is you're going to become part of this learning community, and you're going to share and experiment and learn together with others. So the purpose is we could do our job better and serve the community better. We have a strategy of what we might want to do, and we have a way to go about doing that. And so then you would do this, and as Jack mentioned, you'd pause and you'd look at resistance and challenges. But this is just to give you a little bit more detail of how you might fill out the purpose, the what to do, and how to do it. Is that relatively clear to folks? Okay, cool. So we are going to do an exercise. And what I can't remember is... okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask you in groups, and we're going to break you up in a moment. We're going to ask you, we're going to use this side of the room over here. We'll do integrated core competencies of the job description. So this side of the group, you're going to be looking at this issue of integrating competencies of job descriptions. Why would you want to do that? What you might do, how are you going to do it? And then we have on the back side of the worksheet that start exploring some of these issues of challenges and resistance. What we would like for you to be able to do is give a score and also discuss in a couple of these areas why is it a challenge or why is it resistance and how might you overcome it. Now, one thing I will assure you is given that you're from different places, some of you may say, we don't have unions, they get a zero. Our union's great, they work with us all the time, they get a one. Our union won't even talk to us, they get a 10. And so that may occur in the same group. And so, you know, to have some discussion and you can give it a score. But then give some of the thinking of the group as to why they're being challenged in this sense. The purpose of this is to help each of us begin to practice how we might go about using this. Group on this side, we can try to do like 8 or 10 of you in a group. Does that work out well? On this side, we'd like you to look at recruitment and retention issues and needs. So why would you want to look at that? What are you going to do and how are you going to do it? And then also start dealing with challenges and resistance.
And if we could, in each group, we get one person to take notes on the form. And if you would give it back to me, if you want it back, just put your email on it. I'll scan it when I get back to the East Coast on Friday, if it's still there. And I will mail it back to you. But what we're trying to do is we'll show you the NALBO and the NATRO results we've got. And what we're trying to do is get the results from this group, as we did last year, so we can do a white paper. Also on the... challenges and resistance side, if you would in the group, we have a scoring, 0, 1, 5, 10. And I know anytime we get a group of people together, everybody goes, 1, 5, 10, a 7.2. Okay, try to just keep the scoring the same way because that will make it easier for us to do our comparison as we go forward. So one note taker, and that note taker, if you give it back to me at the end of the session, that'll be good. Then we'll go around and have a report out for each group. And Ron will divide everybody up here.
What I didn't say, too, is if you sign up for the worksheet I've got to mention, we'll also email you the link to the white paper or send you that and email you the results. So that one checkbox to email you the worksheet will send you the other stuff. Okay, so how are we going to break through that time? All right. So let me first finish handing you that here. You guys, Thank you.
straight lines.
Yeah.
Of course, they don't call them.
It only applies when you're not. Career is a choice. Yeah.
The diagnosis of my heart is reaching the house.
So they did give it to him? A lot of times they would throw it away. Just think it's stuck on something. Had a hook on something. I know, that's what I mean. Some of them had a short one. The belt is really reinforced a lot.
So how much time do you
want to
do that?
10 o'clock. What? 10 o'clock. But you got to figure out.
So should we give them another 5 minutes?
Yeah, I'd say 10. Two of the other should be at least in phase one over phase two. So that should be that.
Okay. I'll check. We have about 10 minutes. If you haven't started this part, I encourage you to try to finish up this particular part. That works.
Yeah.
You put the back
and forth. When I did do it, I
have a good way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think they have a whole bunch of them have to take on time. they try to run the team. They don't have the
purpose
it's the same thing we've seen before.
Yep, yep.
Sunday morning, and the boat sitting on the beach broke up its moorings.
Yeah, that's what we
want. They call the Coast Guard, they have the numbers, they call the owner. Yep, I think we're going to
what we would like for you to do is put your seats back. Okay, you don't have to put your seats back. That's all right. What we would like to do is have one person from each group report to the full group. We'll get through this. We really will. Okay. So, who'd like to volunteer first? Anybody want to volunteer? Okay, that's the group in the back.
Sure.
We looked at the integrated core competencies into job descriptions. So looking what we're going to talk about.
So you can start with the purpose. And
sure, the purpose we saw as the we link the quality improvement, we link the performance management. Some will be a grant requirement. It would personalize the content of the core competencies. It would put the frontline staff. And it would bring them clarity for that kind of thing. What to do, everybody who started working with HR on job descriptions for many of some of us have been approved. It means that there is that linkage to the unions. Great. If you're going to do this, you've got to understand the core competencies yourself first. Competency building on your own.
Competency,
and then include the review process. You know, that will be wrapped in the review process. How to do it? That goes back to that learning edge, so there will be no need for some continuing education. There's going to be a need for some FTE. Can't just be an add-on for somebody who's already busy. And there is value in piloting it before dropping it from the whole organization. So, on the challenges of existence, a lot of this is dependent on location. You know, some of us are in right to work states, and others are in kind of unionized states, so that the union issue goes from 0 to a 10. And so a lot of this is such a diverse group here. Same thing with the budget. Some people are small enough departments, some people are 3,000 employees on the state level, so that kind of thing. Resistance to change was kind of ranked as 7.
Hold it.
Where is that?
1, 5, 10. I don't understand.
Well, we like to be outside the box.
Okay. Did anybody give it a 15?
No. I'm going to go for 5, but I guess that's okay. Older, no fractions.
No fractions.
Right. The, the capacity is a 10 because we need FTEs and they're very hard to get these days. External resources of the 5, again, depending on the location, is something from Alaska. Getting resources to them other than the internet is that to be their challenge. We need 5 on that. Everybody, there's a 1 as far as buying on accreditation, so everybody's pressing with that. And legal issues, again, we put a 10 because it's linked to the union status of the agency. So our overall score was 12, and now I've got to change it. I'll redo it.
Okay. And if we could get that sheet, that would be really helpful to us. Was that it?
Yep.
Great. Thank you so much. Great job, Ruth. Appreciate it. And I should have mentioned this before you gave your report back, which is difficult to do this, as we mentioned before, in a mixed group, A, and B, difficult to do it in the amount of time that we had. So however far you got was good enough. All right, and we should just understand that. So since we started with competencies and job description, we'll go to the second group with competencies and job description.
Okay.
And it looks like you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for the purpose, we said to hold people accountable, and also to hold the agents to be accountable for their mission as well. It's also to clearly communicate needs, expectations, and mission, to also have a way to identify gaps in agency competency structures. And also to be able to develop a work plan. What to do? We wanted to map the current job descriptions to competencies and to get that baseline. Align HR timeline to the support tab. Also to look for the quote low-hanging fruit or the easiest route to start with the tier of the lowest resistance in order to pilot. Also to start examining how evaluations will be impacted. We didn't get too far in how to do our resources, but one of the suggestions was to look to examples and possibly do consultations. For example, Kansas apparently has some of that. On the other side, again, we were from very diverse agencies and pretty much gave a 5 to everything except for organization or policy made buy-in. To accreditation that was a 0, and also legal we thought was a 1, and the results was 26.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to the competency group. Appreciate it. All right. Now, of course, you guys here who dealt with the recruitment and retention issues had a much, much tougher standard to do, right?
Whatever.
Okay. No, just kidding. All right, which one of the groups would like to volunteer to go first? Okay, how about we volunteer? Oh, fine, so you saw your hands going up a little bit. Very good. Will you report back?
Okay, we got a whole bunch of academics right here in the public health department.
Which department?
Public health.
Yeah, which public health department?
Oh, I'm sorry, Monterey County.
Monterey County.
Local.
Great.
Wisconsin Corbin, Pebble Beach, golf course, and lots of poverty out here in Santa Cruz We're looking at a mass out migration of management as people retire out. And so we're having some trouble hiring back in people with appropriate skills. Unfortunately, everybody wants to come to Monterey to retire. And then we end up hiring people with high level skills when they stay 5 years when they buy that house on the golf course. So what I thought of to do was to access individual skill levels on our job descriptions and see if those things are correct and reviewable or appropriate. Well, we haven't done it lately. We do cross training, but we don't have a formal cross training plan. It's just happenstance. And it seems like that would be something that we could do with very little budget in place, very little budget impact to formalize what works well in cross training, who with who, or what functions. We have an internship program with our local university. Those people who do it think it's fabulous. Those people who don't get involved think it's a whole lot of work and they don't avail themselves to it. We may have made that more formal. We have hired most of the interns who came into our health department. We have a fabulous track record with that, but it hasn't really been recognized by the higher ups. I think we need to hire a director of workforce development. Our HR people will do HR things. They handle, what comes out of your paycheck and recruitment and that sort of thing. But after that, and no one's really looking at how to develop current employees, existing employees. I'd like to see us have a professional development ladder that everybody every level could be working on their appropriate matter. For example, our director of public health nursing would like to see auditors have their BSN. Some of them have BA, some of them have other industries. She's trying to figure out how she can get people to do online courses, and I'm wondering how the health department can help pay for some of that because it's very expensive. I think it would be interesting if we tracked all the credentials for all the professional folks. If they have bilingual certificates, we should be tracking them. That's not currently captured in their employment record. And if someone goes and gets another certificate or gets another degree, it's not tracked. If you have a master's or more, you get a little pay increment, blah, blah. So everybody knows about that. But that once you get that, so anyway, it would be interesting to track those. We just got a new HR system that ought to be able to do that. So we also have a professional development courses that employees can take online or they get permission to leave their work place and go take it. Started out with dress and success stuff that was really grassroots. Now it's getting far more sophisticated, and I think it would be great if we really get some things wrapped around that, around core competencies, tie that to the new employee HR system, and take that to the challenge. So the only thing I came up with as a challenge is perhaps budgeting for the board.
Thank you very much.
And what we didn't add there is an outcome-driven performance evaluation process, which is just just as important as the competencies being established in the first place, right? And I know that everybody has a meeting, just kind of thinking down, thinking about it. That's not as easy as it sounds, but there needs to be some type of a performance process developed.
Interesting. So you sort of merged in some ways these two concepts, which is if you have a competency-based job description, then presumably you have competency-based performance standards and reviews, which get you into recruitment and retention as well.
Good.
Thank you. Our final group, who would like to report back from that group? Okay.
Great. Well, thank you very much to these groups over here. Appreciate that. Whoops. Okay. So just real briefly. So when we took this to the National Association of Local Boards of Health, just so you could see what they saw here is some of the challenges and resistance. Clearly, in the recruitment and retention issue, the board members who were involved in the discussions found unions and budget as being key to the ability to deal with recruitment and retention. At NACHO, similar findings. So the NACHO folks got into some of the change issues that occur within the organization. And if you think about it, the health officials are the ones who are engaged in the day-to-day operations of the organization. And so it doesn't surprise me that the NALBO, the governing body, might not have gotten into the change issues that are more internal to organizations. But again, we will take the results from today and the results from NACHO and NALBO and put it together and write up some little paper that, nothing big, be up on the website. So next steps. We encourage you to take this back home. Adapt it, try it out in your own organization. I should mention, Jack had said that this is an Excel. We actually put it in Word. We thought about putting it in Excel. That's one of those core competencies that I do not have. But I'm gonna get right. Exactly. I think so. Add it to my job description. Try using this with, other FAB standards. So you can imagine in a different domain, a domain dealing with epidemiology, with surveillance, that you could use the same structure
Provide us with your feedback. We really would like your feedback. See us here. Email us, because we want to continue to learn and to use this. We're actually going to be using this. I mentioned the Maryland Department of Health. We're going to be using that in the not-too-distant future, facilitating a process with them. Now, they want to deal with both FAB accreditation and health reform, two key issues for the Maryland Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, and how do they develop a workforce development plan to address both accreditation and health reform. A variety of resources, again, they're on the sheet that you have in the back there. Please sign in on the sheet if you wish for us to send you emails. Something I failed to mention before, just FYI, this is a new product that we have. It's called the Public Health Quality Improvement Encyclopedia. There are 75 quality improvement tools in it. The T-Matrix is one of the tools in there. It was actually sent to every state, tribal, and local health department in the country for free. And you come visit our booth if you want more information. Yes?
I just want to say it's one of the best documents I've ever
seen. Oh, well, thank you. Well, thank you. It was a labor of love for people like Jack and for Emily and putting...
I just fell in love with it.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Well, the CDC made the free distribution to health departments possible on that. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.